Ruby Moore was her name. My wife and I, along with our children, affectionately referred to her as Aunt Ruby. That she was our adopted godmother, that she was an adopted mother, that God brought her into our lives at a time when we really needed Aunt Ruby in our lives. Aren't you grateful to God that he will bring people into your lives? They may not be blood relatives, but he brings the right people at the right time into your life to help minister to you and to help you. Aunt Ruby was just that kind of person that she was a Jesus person, y'all. She was an older woman. She was a Jesus person. Jesus early in the morning, Jesus late at night, Jesus in the afternoon. It was Aunt Ruby, y'all, that have us sitting down at the dinner table with our Bibles open and we'd be studying scripture. She was just that kind of person, had that kind of influence in our lives. But Aunt Ruby, y'all, she had these old ways, these old wise tales and superstitions that she believed in. I didn't go with some of them. She had one of those, y'all, where you know, baby, don't put your purse on the floor. Minister Ray, I don't even know what that means today. I don't. Some of y'all have to tell school me something. So why not put your purse on the floor? What does that mean? Oh, you won't have no money. Is that what that means? Okay. That's a superstition. Okay, that's a yeah. Put it on the floor when you pick it up. The same money gonna be in your purse. Unless Sister Joyce reached in there and got it out. Aunt Ruby, y'all, she had this saying about spiders. When we had these small spiders on the wall in the house, baby, hurry up, kill the spider because that's your money. What do spiders and money have to do with each other? I don't like spiders, and so when I see a spider on the wall, yeah, I go to kill the spider, but it has nothing to do with money. But then she had this third thing, this third superstition. If you were to go into a job interview, if you were to walk through the doors of a new job, if you needed a loan from the bank to get a mortgage and you were going through the doors of the bank, she would tell you need to go in on your right foot. Literally, open the door and put your right foot in first. What does the right foot have to do with anything? I did a little research on that, but I did find out that there are many cultures that believe in that. That the right side of the body, the right hand, the right side is the side of positivity and prosperity and all of that. That's what they say, they're superstition. That's what they say. And the left side of the body is the side of negativity and non-productivity. I wonder as we walk into the new year, I don't believe superstitions. But do you want to walk into the new year on the right foot? And by right foot, I mean in the right way. That I want to go in with the right attitude and the right behavior, the right way of seeing things, because I want all the blessings that God has for me. As we prepare to walk into, to step into a new year, we ought to want to go in the right way. Not with some stinking thinking, some bad behavior, some bad attitude, but the right way. I believe it's important for us to walk into a new year, a new season, the right way and not a messy way. So what can help us? Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Joshua chapter 1 as we read verses 1 through 7. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, Old Testament book. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, as I read from the New Living Translation of the Bible, it reads thus. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to these ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful. Then you will be successful in everything you do. I want to encourage our hearts from the thought as we begin to walk into, go into, step into a new year. I'm stepping in on more and not a mess. I'm stepping into more rather than a mess. So January 1st is upon us. And the reality is it may be messy on day one. That we live in a world of messy people. That we live in a world where we have messy circumstances. But here's what I don't want. I don't want to walk into the new year and I'm a hot mess. That my attitude is not right. That my behavior is not right. I want to walk into the new year the right way. And the right way is always, it's always God's way. Because I want all that God has for me. I want to step in on more. I want to receive more of his grace, more of his mercy, more of his promises, more of his favor. I want more. I want more of him. I want more of what he has for me. I want to step into more, not a mess. As the story of the Israelites go, you know, Moses is dead. But before that, God called them out of Egypt. He called them to the promised land. Long story short, y'all know the story that they were in Egypt for 400 years. And they had to wander through the desert for some 40 years. A trip that should have taken them probably a month or so. 230, 250 miles, a bunch of people, but they could have done that in a month, maybe a month and a half. But for 40 years, they wandered around in the wilderness. Y'all know why they wandered around in the wilderness. They get to the brink of the promised land, and Moses sends out spies into the land, 12 spies, to spy out the land to see how strategically they would take the land. Now, remember something, God had already given them, it was theirs. So it was a strategic plan they were looking for. It wasn't asking God, can we have it? It was already theirs. And so they go out into the land and they come back and 10 spies say, uh-uh, it ain't happening. There are giants in the land. I don't care if they have big grapes. I don't care what they got, caviar. I don't care what they got. There are giants in the land. We cannot take it. God already said it was theirs. Did you get that? And two of them says, we can take it, Joshua and Caleb. But because they disobeyed God, God said, guess what? Y'all going to skip to the loo for 40 years. You're going to wander, and you're going to wander, and you're going to wander until an entire generation of people died off. That God had a promise for them. The promises of God are yes and they are and amen. God's promises don't fail. But what happens when we fail to reach the promise? God's promises are eternal. But what happens when God makes a promise, but we fail because of our mess and our messiness and our unbelief that we don't reach the promise. The promise can reach us, but do we reach out and grab the promise that God has for us? I don't know about you, but I want to reach out and grab every promise that God has for me in 2026. I want everything God has for me. So Israel's journey, it was a messy journey. They whined and they complained and they disobeyed. So they never made it into a generation never made it into the promised land. I don't want to go in whining. I don't want to go in complaining. God has been too good to me. I want to go in, y'all, with the right footing. I want to go in with the right way, trusting and believing God and obeying God and his word. Again, so Moses died. And now it's Joshua's time, his turn to pick up the mantle and be the leader. So God says to Joshua, listen, I'm promising you what I promised Moses. that he makes this land promise that, Israel would, they would take over Canaan, that the land would be theirs. He defines the borders for them. We see it in the text, the Negev and the Euphrates and all of the Mediterranean. He defines the borders for them. And then he gives them this command, y'all, that you got to be strong. You got to be courageous. And you got to follow God's word so that you will be blessed. That's the message for us today in a nutshell. Listen, when we trust and obey God, we step into more rather than a mess. I want to step into more. I want to step into greater. It's my heart for this ministry and for this church. That by God's grace and God's power, as we conduct 4x4, that we see every seat filled in the church at every service. The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. That God is sending us out as laborers into his harvest. I want to see God's house full. I want to see every seat full. I want to see greater. I want to see more. But I have to do it, and we have to do it God's way. That's what we want for the new year. We want more. We want change. So how can we do it? How do we get there? How can God's word to us today in the book of Joshua, he speaks to the Israelites, he speaks to Joshua, how can it help us to walk into more, to step into more rather than a mess? Well, the first thing is this, real quick, that we must wait on God's divine timing. Wait on God's divine timing. Look at verses 1 and 2 again in the text. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. Again, Moses is dead. So now it's Joshua's time. It's Joshua's time, but it was God's appointed time. That it was God's appointed season. That, beloved, we have to learn how to wait on God's appointed time. That God's appointed season. What would it have looked like if Joshua, when Moses was alive, to say, listen, I want to be the leader. That I want the juice. I want the status. I want the power. I want Moses out of my way. And he would have tried to take over. God would have killed him dead. That Moses was the man in the moment, but Joshua's turn would come and his time came. Moses was now dead. It was Joshua's time, but it was God's timing. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Says, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. That time belongs to God, beloved. Yeah. All of time belongs to him. Time in the Greek really has two meanings. Time, there is chronos. That's the time that we look at on our watch. That's the ticking of the clock, day by day by day. Tick, 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 tick. Chronos, chronology. But there's also kairos. And kairos is appointed time. It's an appointed season. It's an appointed occasion. And so, y'all, the clock can tick. And it keeps on ticking. And it keeps on ticking. And we're wondering, when is the blessing going to come? When is the promise going to come forth? It looks like it's never going to come. But you have to rest assured that God has kairos in mind, that the day will come, the occasion will come, the blessing will come, the promise will come. But you have to wait on God. Don't get in so much of a hurry that you cannot wait on God. I'm saying this in this very moment. I guarantee you somebody's going to step into 2026. You're not going to wait on God. And guess what's going to happen? It's going to be a mess. Yeah. I wonder if we got any witnesses in the house today that you've operated outside of God's timing, for real though. And what did it result in? Yeah, case closed. So everything happens in God's timing. Wait on God and trust him. Choose faith over hurry. Sometimes we get in so much of a hurry. Just wait on God to bring it to pass. Wait on God's divine timing. Your situation, it may be paused, but it's not forgotten. That sometimes God will press pause in your situation, but rest assured of something, God has not forgotten. That's a word for somebody to say, God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten where you are. God has not forgotten what you're going through. God has not forgotten what you need. It may look like it's on pause right now, but behind the scenes, God is operating. God is moving on your behalf, and you have to trust that. To trust that things happen in God's perfect timing. So whether it's 2026 or 2036, God's got the schedule, and God's schedule is good. God's calendar is good, and we have to trust God for the process. Trust God for his promises. And don't allow your waiting season to be a wasted season where you're just waiting on God. You sit down, I ain't doing nothing. I don't want to do nothing until I see this come to pass. Listen, you can work while you're waiting. Serve while you're waiting. Worship while you're waiting. Praise while you're waiting. And wait for God to bring it to pass. There is divine timing. We want to step into more rather than the mess. We have to wait on God's divine timing. But not only that, we have to trust God's divine promises. Look at verse 3. Trust God's divine promises. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you, from the Negev wilderness to the south, Lebanon, all of it, north, south, east, and west, y'all. You can read that. But all of this is based upon a promise of God. Yeah. God says, I promised. Yeah. Read it. I promised that I will do it. Anybody ever had somebody in your life to make a promise to you, but they didn't keep it? For whatever reason, sometimes people promise you something and they can't keep it. Maybe they leave here before they can fulfill the promise. There are some people in our lives that will make us a promise, and listen, they have no idea, no notion to fulfill the promise. They're just not going to do it. They just lie. But you know what it feels like for somebody to promise you something and they don't fulfill the promise, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, for richer or for poorer. But they break the promise. Then it breaks the heart. But God will always, always fulfill his promises. That God will always, always fulfill his promises. And we have to trust that. Trust in God's divine promises. Wherever you set your foot will be your land I have given you. So when they walked, that's theirs. As they kept on walking, it would be theirs. Walk north, it would be theirs. Walk south, it would be theirs. East and west, it was theirs. Wherever their foot landed, their feet landed, it would be theirs. The direction of our feet exposes the depth of our faith. If God says move, we need to move just like that. If God says that every step that you take, every choice that you make that I told you to make, that if you're following me and you're following my word, that when you walk and when you step and when you live, listen, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to give you that. Then trust God. It's a promise. It's a promise to us. But yeah, what does it look like when God says, yes, I need you to go. I need you to step out on faith, but we step back in fear. That there's sometimes maybe we ask God for promise, and God gives us a promise, but the promise is really not fulfilled in the moment for us because we're waiting on God, and God, it's already there. I need you to move out, take action, move. Yeah. That they had to move out for God. Divine promises. Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29, one of our favorite passages of scripture, y'all. But God, I know the plans I have for you, that God has plans of good and not disaster, future. And we claim that scripture, don't we? Yeah. Jeremiah 29:11, y'all, it's all good. But when we read the context of that scripture, we have to realize that the nation of Judah was in Babylon. They were in captivity. And they would be there for some 70 years before they were released. And so God says to them, listen, I want y'all to go in there. I want you to make some babies. I want you to get married. I want you to have some grandchildren. But, you know, plant some crops. Build some houses, y'all. Put a gated community around it, y'all. Get you some nice garden. I want you to do all of this because you're going to be here for a minute. Then God gets to Jeremiah 29:11. I wonder as we prepare to walk into the new year, if there's somebody here that feels like you're in Babylon. You feel like maybe you're in chains. You want to move forward. There's something that's holding you down. You feel like your life is on pause right now. that you're doing the things that you need to do, that you should do, but it looks like there's no momentum, there's no forward movement, and you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting on God. And God promised it. You heard God say it. But it is yet to come to pass. And so you feel like you're in Babylon. You feel like you're on lockdown. Can you still believe in the promises of God? Even when your life looks like it's on pause? Even when it looks like there is no forward mobility? Even when it looks like you're not prospering? Even when it looks like the situation is not going to change, the person is not going to change, it's going to be the same forever and forever? Can you still trust what God spoke to you in the midnight hour? God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to blow you up. I'm going to give you favor. I'm going to give you grace. Can you trust God in that moment? Can you hold on to the divine promise of God? God, I know what you said, and I believe what you said. A whole lot of folk, y'all, going to step into the new year. They're going to step in. They're going to move in, y'all, on cliches and all of that stuff and resolutions. 2026, man, I'm going to be in the mix. 2026, I'm going to be a hit, y'all. My 2026 is going to be filled with bliss. And then January 1st, hit, everything is tore up from the floor up. Because we try to go in on cliches, y'all. We go in on resolutions, y'all, that, man, when I go in, it's 2026, yeah, that's my year to lose some weight. I'm going to be thinner. I'm going to be snatched. I'm going to be looking good, y'all. Yeah. I'm going to get healthy. I know what healthy is. That we make these resolutions, y'all. We make these, God, you know, if you do this for me, God, I'm going to do this for you in 20, and it's going to all be good. I don't know about cliches. Roger, I don't about all that stuff. Superstitious things, these promises that we make, the stuff that we say that we're going to do. I found out something true for my life. It's the best resolution is no resolution. I'm just talking about me right now, because usually when I make a resolution, I'm going to do a repeat the next year. How many years have you been saying you're going to lose weight? Look at me, don't look around, look at me. Let me talk about me. Yeah, some of y'all be thankful, GOP1, whatever it is. be grateful, y'all. I'm just saying what I'm saying, be grateful. How many times we make these, we gonna do this and we gonna do that and we end up doing a repeat? I say forget all of that. But one thing I'm hanging on to, one thing I'm holding on to, is the promises of God. All of his promises are yes and they are amen. Amen. That God will do exactly what he says he will do in my life, in your life. I believe in the promises of God. The promises of God don't expire. But the reality is that we can fail to reach the promise because we don't trust God. We don't obey God. The promise is still good. But will we reach out, obey God, and grab hold to the promises of God? So trust God for the promise. Even if you're under pressure, trust God more than your failures. Yeah. Yeah. Trust God more than your frustrations. Yes. Trust God more than your pressure. Trust God more than the pain that you're dealing with. Trust the promises of God that he will bring you out. Again, if we're going to step into more rather than a mess in the new year, also we have to observe God's divine boundaries. Look again with me with verses 4-5. Again, it's real clear in the text. He gives all of these directions, all of these places, the Negev wilderness in the south, Lebanon mountains in the north, Euphrates rivers in the east, the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. That God establishes the boundaries of the land that he has promised them. God, all of this is yours. I'm giving you all of this right here. This is yours. I'm giving this to you. There are giants in the land, but it's yours. You can possess it. It's yours. Even the land of the Hittites, it belongs to you. But notice in the text that all of this comes with God's protection. God said, I'm going to be with you. Nobody's going to be able to stand against you. Can I say this simply? What God has for you, it's for you. So stop tripping. Stop struggling and fighting. Stop worrying. When God makes a promise to you, that promise is for you. Wait on God's divine timing. Look at verses 1 and 2 again in the text. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. Again, Moses is dead. So now it's Joshua's time. It's Joshua's time, but it was God's appointed time. That it was God's appointed season. That, beloved, we have to learn how to wait on God's appointed time. That God's appointed season. What would it have looked like if Joshua, when Moses was alive, to say, listen, I want to be the leader. That I want the juice. I want the status. I want the power. I want Moses out of my way. And he would have tried to take over. God would have killed him dead. That Moses was the man in the moment, but Joshua's turn would come and his time came. Moses was now dead. It was Joshua's time, but it was God's timing. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 says, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. That time belongs to God, beloved. Yeah. All of time belongs to him. Time in the Greek really has two meanings. Time, there is chronos. That's the time that we look at on our watch. That's the ticking of the clock, day by day by day. Tick, 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 tick. Chronos, chronology. But there's also kairos. And kairos is appointed time. It's an appointed season. It's an appointed occasion. And so, y'all, the clock can tick. And it keeps on ticking. And it keeps on ticking, and we're wondering, when is the blessing going to come? When is the promise going to come forth? It looks like it's never going to come. But you have to rest assured that God has kairos in mind, that the day will come, the occasion will come, the blessing will come, the promise will come, but you have to wait on God. Don't get in so much of a hurry that you cannot wait on God. I'm saying this in this very moment. I guarantee you, somebody's going to step into 2026. You're not going to wait on God. And guess what's going to happen? It's going to be a mess. Yeah. I wonder if we got any witnesses in the house today that you've operated outside of God's timing, for real though. And what did it result in? Yeah, case closed. So everything happens in God's timing. Wait on God and trust him. Choose faith over hurry. Sometimes we get in so much of a hurry. Just wait on God to bring it to pass. Wait on God's divine timing. Yes, listen, your situation, it may be paused, but it's not forgotten. That sometimes God will press pause in your situation, but rest assured of something, God has not forgotten. That's a word for somebody to say, God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten where you are. God has not forgotten what you're going through. God has not forgotten what you need. It may look like it's on pause right now, but behind the scenes, God is operating. God is moving on your behalf, and you have to trust that. To trust that things happen in God's perfect timing. So whether it's 2026 or 2036, God's got the schedule, and God's schedule is good. God's calendar is good, and we have to trust God for the process. Trust God for his promises. And don't allow your waiting season to be a wasted season where you're just waiting on God. You sit down, I ain't doing nothing. I don't want to do nothing until I see this come to pass. Listen, you can work while you're waiting. Serve while you're waiting. Worship while you're waiting. Praise while you're waiting. And wait for God to bring it to pass. There is divine timing. We want to step into more rather than the mess. We have to wait on God's divine timing. But not only that, we have to trust God's divine promises. Look at verse 3. Trust God's divine promises. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you, from the Negev wilderness to the south, Lebanon, all of it, north, south, east, and west, y'all. You can read that. But all of this is based upon a promise of God. God says, I promised. Read it. I promised that I will do it. Anybody ever had somebody in your life to make a promise to you, but they didn't keep it? For whatever reason, sometimes people promise you something and they can't keep it. Maybe they leave here before they can fulfill the promise. There are some people in our lives that will make us a promise, and listen, they have no idea, no notion to fulfill the promise. They're just not going to do it. They're just lying. But you know what it feels like for somebody to promise you something and they don't fulfill the promise, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, for richer or for poorer, but they break the promise. That it breaks the heart. But God will always, always fulfill his promises. That God will always, always fulfill his promises, and we have to trust that. Trust in God's divine promises. Wherever you set your foot will be your land I have given you. So when they walked, that's theirs. As they kept on walking, it would be theirs. Walk north, it would be theirs. Walk south, it would be theirs. East and west, it was theirs. Wherever their foot landed, their feet landed, it would be theirs. The direction of our feet exposes the depth of our faith. If God says move, we need to move just like that. If God says that every step that you take, every choice that you make that I told you to make, that if you're following me and you're following my word, that when you walk and when you step and when you live, listen, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to give you that. I'm going to, then trust God. It's a promise. It's a promise to us. But yeah, what does it look like when God says, yes, I need you to go. I need you to step out on faith. But we step back in fear. Yeah. Yeah. There's sometimes maybe we ask God for promise, and God gives us a promise, but the promise is really not fulfilled in the moment for us because we're waiting on God. And God, it's already there. I need you to move out. Take action. Move. Yeah. Yeah. That they had to move out for God. Divine promises. Jeremiah 29:11, one of our favorite passages of scripture, y'all. But God said, I know the plans I have for you, that God has plans of good and not disaster, future. And we claim that scripture, don't we? Yeah. Jeremiah 29:11, y'all, it's all good. But when we read the context of that scripture, we have to realize that the nation of Judah was in Babylon. They were in captivity. And they would be there for some 70 years before they were released. And so God says to them, listen, I want y'all to go in there. I want you to make some babies. I want you to get married. I want you to have some grandchildren. But, you know, plant some crops. Build some houses, y'all. Put a gated community around it, y'all. Get you some nice garden. I want you to do all of this because you're going to be here for a minute. Then God gets to Jeremiah 29:11. I wonder as we prepare to walk into the new year, if there's somebody here that feels like you're in Babylon. You feel like maybe you're in chains. You want to move forward. There's something that's holding you down. You feel like your life is on pause right now. That you're doing the things that you need to do, that you should do, but it looks like there's no momentum. There's no forward movement. And you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting on God. And God promised it. You heard God say it. But it is yet to come to pass. And so you feel like you're in Babylon. You feel like you're on lockdown. Can you still believe in the promises of God? Yes. Even when your life looks like it's on pause? Yes. Even when it looks like there is no forward mobility? Even when it looks like you're not prospering? Even when it looks like the situation is not going to change, the person is not going to change, it's going to be the same forever and forever? Can you still trust what God spoke to you in the midnight hour? God says, I'm going to bless you. Yes. I'm going to blow you up. I'm going to give you favor. I'm going to give you grace. Can you trust God in that moment? Can you hold on to the divine promise of God? God, I know what you said, and I believe what you said. A whole lot of folk, y'all, going to step into the new year. They're going to step in. They're going to move in, y'all, on cliches and all of that stuff and resolutions. 2026, man, I'm going to be in the mix. 2026, I'm going to be a hit, y'all. My 2026 is going to be filled with bliss. And then January 1st, everything is tore from the floor up. Because we try to go in on cliches, y'all. We go in on resolutions, y'all, that, man, when I go in, it's 2026, yeah, that's my year to lose some weight. I'm going to be thinner. I'm going to, shoot. I'm going to be snatched. I'm going to be looking good, y'all. That, yeah. I'm going to get healthy. I know what healthy is. that we make these resolutions, y'all. We make these, God, you know, if you do this for me, God, I'm going to do this for you in 20, and it's going to all be good. I don't know about cliches. Roger, I don't know about all that stuff. Superstitious things, these promises that we make, the stuff that we say that we're going to do. I found out something true for my life. It's the best resolution is no resolution. I'm just talking about me right now, because usually when I make a resolution, I'm going to do a repeat the next year. How many years have you been saying you're going to lose weight? Look at me, don't look around, look at me. Let me talk about me. Yeah, some of y'all be thankful, GOP1, whatever it is. Be thankful, be grateful, y'all. I'm just saying what I'm saying, be grateful. How many times we make these, we're going to do this and we're going to do that and we end up doing a repeat? I say, forget all of that. But one thing I'm hanging on to, one thing I'm holding on to, is the promises of God. All of his promises are yes and they are amen. Amen. That God will do exactly what he says he will do in my life, in your life. I believe in the promises of God. The promises of God don't expire. But the reality is that we can fail to reach the promise because we don't trust God. We don't obey God. The promise is still good. But will we reach out, obey God, and grab hold to the promises of God? So trust God for the promise. Even if you're under pressure, trust God more than your failures.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trust God more than your frustrations.
Yes.
Trust God more than your pressure. Trust God more than the pain that you're dealing with. Trust the promises of God that he will bring you out.
Yes.
Again, if we're going to step into more rather than a mess in the new year, also we have to observe God's divine boundaries. Look again with me with verses 4-5. Again, it's real clear in the text. He gives all of these directions, all of these places, the Negev wilderness in the south, Lebanon mountains in the north, Euphrates rivers in the east, the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. That God establishes the boundaries of the land that he has promised them. God, all of this yours. I'm giving you all of this right here. This is yours. I'm giving this to you. There are giants in the land, but it's yours. You can possess it. It's yours. Even the land of the Hittites, it belongs to you. But notice in the text that all of this comes with God's protection. God said, I'm going to be with you. Nobody's going to be able to stand against you. Can I say this simply? What God has for you, it's for you. So stop tripping. Stop struggling and fighting. Stop worrying. When God makes a promise to you, that promise is for you. When God speaks and you hear him clearly and God makes the promise is for you, it's for me. But what happens when we cross the boundaries? What would it look like if God says, listen, I'm giving you all of this right here, north, south, east, and west, Negev, Euphrates, Mediterranean, all of this is yours. But you look out and go, they looked out and said, well, God, that's good, but we want Canaan, but we want that over there too. That's walking outside of God's boundaries, walking across the line. What happens when we cross the boundaries that God has set for us? You do know that God sets boundaries, right? You have a Bible, read it. God sets some boundaries.
Yeah.
We have some moral and ethical boundaries that God says don't cross. Spiritual boundaries that God says don't cross. Even when it comes to our worship and our worship experience, some boundaries, some lines that we should not cross.
Yes.
In relationships, there are some boundaries that we should not cross. That God establishes boundaries for you and for me. And what happens when we cross those boundaries? It ends up in a mess. If Adam and Eve were here today, they could tell you what would happen. God said, all of this in the garden is yours. You can have all of this here. All this, it belongs to you. I'm giving you all of this, except in the middle of the garden, there's a tree that I don't want you to eat from that tree. And what did they do? They caused a mess for all of us, didn't they? But we can't just blame it on Adam and Eve, y'all. All have sinned, not y'all, and fallen short of the glory of God. And sinning is crossing the boundary. It's crossing the line with God. That we have to hold on to divine boundaries in God. Don't cross the line. Within his lines, y'all, we shine. And God said, all of this is yours. And it was theirs, but don't cross. Here are the boundaries right here, but don't cross the line. So in this new year, as we step into more rather than the mess, we have to do so by waiting on God's divine timing, yes, trusting his divine promises, observing the divine boundaries that God has set for us. And finally this, and we're out of here, we have to follow God's divine direction. Verses 6 and 7, be strong and courageous. For you are the one, Joshua, who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then, and only then, will you be successful in all that you do. That God gives divine direction, the divine commands. That God tells us a particular thing. That God speaks from his word. That he gives us commandments and statutes and precepts and laws and things we ought to obey. That's divine direction. Notice in the text that it takes personal action from Joshua and from the people of Israel. That God doesn't just sit back, relax. The land is yours. You don't have to do nothing. I'm going to throw it right in your lap. Just chill out. No, you have to be courageous. You have to be strong. And you have to obey all that I'm teaching you. The same thing applies to us today, beloved of God. There's sometimes we're waiting on God to just drop something in our lap. God just dropped a blessing down on rain melodies from here. Rain down. Blessings rain down on me. But oftentimes, this is the real. That God requires a personal action from you. Yes, that God said, look, your feet got to move. You can't just sit there and look at the promised land. You got to get up from where you are. You got to go and possess what I've already possessed for you. That's a message to somebody. Because 2026 will pass. 2027 will come and you'll still be sitting there looking and wondering. God said, I already gave you the promise. I need you to get up and move out. I needed your feet to move. I needed your faith to move. You just sat there and did nothing. When God says, move, get up. Do what God requires of you. Follow God's commands, his divine direction. If we're going to step into more, into greater, into a destiny, into our purpose, we have to do it God's way, according to God's steps and his commands. Yes, sir. We have to follow God's way and God's steps. Where God moves, we move. We have to follow God's steps and his command. Listen. I'm not much of a dancer. It's quiet in the house. We knew that, Pastor. We knew that. There's some of us, y'all, we have two left feet. And y'all, and as we try to step, y'all, we get clumsy. We can't get our steps together. But there's this old rapper who's deceased now. That his name was DJ Casper. Some of y'all perhaps remember him, Mr. C, or he was called the Slide Man. He was good for folk that couldn't dance because he had this song, the Cha-Cha Slide. Y'all looking at me strange right now. What, the Cha-Cha Slide? What is that? I know we got some line dancers in here. We got, y'all ain't never been to no party where y'all did the Cha-Cha Slide. Come on, don't fool me now. Y'all looking at me strange right now. Y'all, maybe some folk on this side will be honest. That y'all heard of the Cha-Cha Slide. Maybe somebody, y'all heard of the Cupid Shuffle. Come on now, son. So y'all know something about that now. Come on, some of y'all know how to wobble with it. See, I didn't need folk to be honest with me right now. Be honest with me right now. Where them fans at? Come on. Yeah, just be honest with me right now. Before all of that, though, y'all, they had the cha-cha slide and DJ Casper. What I loved about the song is this, though, that when he gave you the song, he gave you the directions. He verbally gave you the command. Listen, y'all, we gonna start this song, and I know what we're gonna do. We're gonna clap, 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 clap. And so you clap. You know how to clap. And then you say something like, okay. We're gonna break it down. Now so go to the left. And you go to the left. He say, take it back now. And he say, hop one time. then he say, right foot stomp, y'all. Left foot stomp. And then y'all, you cha-cha it out. But you could do it Because all you had to do was follow the directions and you would have success in dancing. God is saying, if you want to have success in life, follow my directions, follow my commands, and I'll make you successful. I'll bless you, but you've got to do it my way. Wait on my divine timing. Wait on my promises. Observe my boundaries and follow my direction. And when you do it my way, listen, you're going to have a divine cha-cha slide that you can dance to the rhythm of God's voice. In God's direction. So if we're going to be successful in 2026, we have to do it God's way. I don't know about you, but I really do want to step into more. And not more just for me. More for you and more for this ministry, more for this community. But one thing I realized in this moment, if I'm going to experience it more, step into that more, I've got to do it God's way. Because when I don't, it just ends up a mess. And the church said, amen. And so let me leave you with a couple of tips, practical tips, as we step out on faith and we move into more. Listen, don't let fear stop your obedience. I believe in this moment God is calling you to do something. God has promises for you. God wants you to be faithful to him, always to trust him, to obey him. I believe that some for this ministry, even now, God is calling you to do something, to be a part of this ministry, yes, to lead a life group, to be a part of our prayer ministry. You know, for we ain't got time, you know. It's interesting how we want prayer, but somebody asked to be a part of the prayer ministry, we ain't got time for that. I'm not complaining, I'm just explaining. But I believe God has more for us. But too many of us allow fear to stop us from walking into our destiny and God's promises and our divine purpose. We let fear stop us. And fear doesn't mean, y'all, that you're doing something wrong. Fear could mean that, listen, what you're trying to do, it's an important matter. It's something that God really wants you to do. So even if you have to do it, Mr. Dan, what do you say? Do it what? Do it scared. So don't let fear stop you. That's a practical thing. Trust God in your transition. That's another thing. That God was transitioning Israel. He was bringing them into the promise. A change was coming. A new season was coming. New territory. A new horizon.
Yeah.
So when transition comes, you have to trust God. The God that brought you to the brink of the promised land, that brought you to the brink of the promise or whatever God's going to carry you in. Amen. So simply trust God for the transition in your life. And maybe for somebody in the house today, God may be transitioning some people out of your life. And you have to trust God for that. That God is bringing you into new territory and bring, you have to trust God for that. And so some people walk out of your life, oh well, it's transition time, it's change time. Trust the process, trust God in your transition. And lastly, choose daily courage. Time and time and time again in the book of Joshua, God says, listen, be courageous, be strong. And be courageous. What I love about God, God will never ask you to do something that he does not give you the wherewithal to do it. If God said be strong and God said be courageous, then you better believe that, because God is with you. He promised he'd never leave you nor forsake you. God will give you the strength that you need. God will give you the wisdom that you need. You simply have to trust God. Choose daily courage. So here it is. We're standing at the brink of another year. Don't know whether we'll make it in or not. But I don't know about you, but I'm determined if I'm going in, I want to go in, step in on more. Yeah. So I have to step in with the right attitude, the right behavior. That I'm trusting God in his timing and for his promises and all of that. But here's something I know. Prepare to close out. If we're honest with each other. I've tried on my own to be in step with God. And I found out something in life. You cannot do it. There's this thing called sin that causes us to be out of balance and out of step with God, out of rhythm with God. That I'm trying to do the divine dance, but somehow I get out of step. I get out of rhythm. That's a human problem. You're looking at me today, you may be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, but that's a you problem too and a me problem. There's often that I say, I'm going to stay in step, I'm going to stay in rhythm with you, God. There's sometimes when I simply fail to do it. It's the fallen human condition. But God already took care of that. That God sent his son into the world to die for my missteps and my mistakes and my sins and my failures. So when if I do fall down, I can get back up again because I've got his grace and I've got his forgiveness. I got his strength and I got his power. What am I saying today? Listen, there may be someone here today that you're not in a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That right now you're living with some missteps and some mistakes. That you want to do a divine dance with God, to be in tune with him and step with him, but there's something in your life that's keeping you from it. And if you're not a born-again believer, it's a thing called sin. If you are, it's still sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we make in this moment a plea to you that if we want to step into more and to be more for God, it starts with a relationship with him. It starts with a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoso believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That we admit that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. That we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus. We believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. According to Romans, that saves us. That settles it. Does it mean I'm perfect? No. Does it mean that I'll still trip up from time to time? Yeah, I do. Does it mean I say the wrong thing? Sister Jackie laughing down here. So she's giving testimony. So we don't always get it right, though. But I still know I'm saved. It all starts with a saving relationship with Jesus. If you're here today and you don't have that relationship, we invite you into that relationship.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.